introduce our guest speaker, my son, William Kant. William was baptized in this very sanctuary in August of 2000 and was confirmed here in May of 2014. He's excited to share his message with you on this, his 21st birthday. William?
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
To begin, Pastor Jeremy asked me if I would share a little about myself with all of you. So for those of you who don't know, my name is William Camps, and I have the amazing honor to speak to all of you here today. I have been a lifelong member of Cornerstone Faith Community Church. Growing up, I was baptized here, attended Sunday school, and got confirmed here under Pastor Brandon. This church family is a family I am extremely grateful for and has helped shape me into the man I am today. After going through public schooling for elementary and middle school, I had the privilege to attend Marmion Academy in Aurora. Marmion is a college preparatory, military, Catholic high school for young men. There, I got to grow with my brothers in the pillars of academic, leadership, and spirituality. After four amazing years, I chose to attend the University of Pennsylvania, where I'm a rising senior and a member of the men's swimming and diving team, a health and wellness captain for the swim team on behalf of the athletic department, a member of the Phi Alpha Delta pre-law fraternity, the project manager of Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity, and the finance chair for Pen for Jesus, an umbrella Christian organization who aims to bring together all Christian groups at my school in community and fellowship. I guess you could say I am pretty busy, but I would not change a thing. Entering college as a freshman, I faced the challenges most students face. I was slammed with homework and exams, was trying to make new friends, I was trying to find what clubs I wanted to join, and so on. One thing to note about my school is that it is not like most other schools. I do not say this to brag, but as an Ivy League school, Penn has many other challenges I had to face that I suspect most other students do not. Penn has a very strong pre-professional culture that seeps into all students. Most students, upon their arrival to campus, know exactly what they want to do when they are older, whether it is become a doctor, attend law school, or work in corporate finance. Most students hit the ground running as a freshman and do everything possible to excel and set themselves up for a successful future. While all of that is great, it can result in a lot of negative effects. At Penn, there is a thing known as the Penn face. The Penn face is essentially a smile you put on while walking around campus that hides the true emotions one is feeling deep down. Deep down, a student may be dealing with some personal issues, but on the outside, nobody would ever guess there is anything wrong. Fortunately, I've never had to put on a pen face, but being around a culture like that can take a toll on someone. Additionally, as a world-renowned school, many of the students that attend Penn come from very well-to-do families. Many students joke about how the main walk of campus is essentially a runway for students to show off their newest and most expensive outfits. As a hard-working skinny kid from the Midwest, as my swim coach likes to call me, this new environment at Penn was not something I was used to. Once again, I do not share these things with you to brag, but because I want to give you insight into what my experience is. In this new environment, I found it somewhat difficult to fit in. Fortunately, I was able to find some great friends on the swim team who have each other's backs no matter what. The first couple of years, my grades were fine, I had a decent social life, and I loved swimming with the team. But something was missing those first couple of years, and that was my faith life. Being thrown into a new environment, I did all the things most other students do. I studied hard, practiced hard, and enjoyed the weekends. But not having an active faith life left me with an empty hole in my heart. I was still praying every day and would read scripture every now and then, but my faith life was not very active, and it certainly was not growing. However, this past school year, I decided to make a change. I wanted to start putting God first again. Instead of prioritizing school first, then swim, and then my faith life and a social life, I decided to flip that around and put my faith first, then school, then swim, and last my social life. That has made all the difference this past year. This change would not have been as drastic and as successful if it weren't for one of my friends who invited me out one night to meet some missionaries. At first, I was slightly apprehensive to put my schoolwork down and to go meet them. I didn't really know what to expect. I guess in my mind, I had pictured a missionary who traveled to a third world country or some place on the other side of the world to spread the gospel. But I was certainly wrong about that, and meeting them was one of the best things that could have happened to me. After the initial awkwardness of college-age students meeting each other, my friend and I got some frozen yogurt with the missionaries, and a newfound friendship was formed. I became close friends with one of the missionaries, named Tim, who will be a lifelong friend of mine. Over the past year, I had a couple of notable experiences with Tim and the other missionaries that will leave a lasting impression on me. The first experience was on a retreat called Seek. The retreat, although virtual, really opened my eyes after they had been closed the past 2 years, and my heart was filled with Christ again. Never in my life did I think I would be praying with a group of college guys all from around the country and world after having graduated from Marmion. The fellowship we had, in addition to the talks and activities we participated in, filled me with joy. However, the most notable experience this past year comes from a discipleship that I entered. In this discipleship, I would meet weekly with Tim, and we would walk together in our faith. I was able to have a very intimate experience with God at a level I had never really experienced before. Next, I would like to share with you three ways I saw God work in my life this past year. First, I stopped putting other things before Him. Whenever it came to doing something related to my faith or God, I said, yes. As I said before, it is so easy to get caught up in the intensity of school. What I found, though, is that when you put God first, everything else in your life becomes much more easy and comes with peace. Certainly, I still had some major stresses, but after spending more time with the Lord, those stresses came and went much more easily. Second, I began to see everywhere how our world has turned so far away from Him. It may sound weird, but I feel like He's starting to show me more and more who has Him in their heart and who does not, even with just a small interaction with that person. I feel like some blinders of mine were taken off, and I can see things in our world more for what they are than what they appear. All in all, it is scary to see how far parts of our world and some people, like celebrities and influential leaders, have fallen away from the values and teachings of Christ. In the same vein, He has shown me just how much we need Him in our lives and how important it is to spread His teachings and the gospel. And finally, I saw God work through my life by having a personal and intimate experience with Him. Showing emotion is something I've struggled with for pretty much my whole life. I would say I'm a very stoic person, which can be beneficial, but other times it feels like a curse. Too often, I want to feel more emotional or be able to show a feeling, but I can't. One day, after sharing this with Tim, the missionary I had a close relationship with, he encouraged me to ask God to break down my heart and to help me feel more. After a couple of weeks of prayer, God answered. One day at Mass, I truly felt the presence of God overcome me, and I started to cry. While I began to cry, I realized I didn't remember the last time I had cried. It must have been several years. God truly showed me how much He loved me and how much He loves each and every one of us. I feel that for the first time, I truly was able to appreciate the beauty of Christ and the gift that He has given us by dying on the cross. I felt the Holy Spirit begin to overwhelm me, and it was one of the most profound experiences I have ever had. Through this experience, I feel that God really showed me how He lives within each and every one of us. As a whole, this past year, I really began to see and appreciate the power God has, which is the theme for my message today. One of my favorite verses is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, which speaks to God's power when Paul is writing to the Corinthians. Starting at verse 1, it reads, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." To better understand this reading, I feel it is important to have some background information on Paul and the Corinthians. Corinth was a very proud, busy, and intellectual city, similar to today's Chicago or Paris, as scholars explain. However, the city was filled with much immorality and corruption. Before making his way to Corinth, Paul had some rough experiences in other parts of Greece while trying to spread the gospel. You can see on the map here, Paul began his journey up in Philippi, in the northern part. But there, after preaching, he was illegally beaten and eventually thrown into prison. After escaping prison, he made his way westward to Thessalonica. And at first, his labors were fruitful, but eventually the Jews in the town stirred against him, created a mob, and cast him out. After fleeing the mob, he traveled further west to Berea. And again, at first he was doing well and the people were receptive, but that angry mob had followed him from Thessalonica all the way to Berea, and they stirred the people against him, and once again he was cast out by the mob. Then he made his way all the way down to Athens, and his preaching bore some fruit at first, but he was scorned by the sophisticated people of Athens, as Athens was the intellectual center of Greece. Finally, Paul made his way to Corinth. And so certainly with these past experiences, Paul had some low expectations for the people of Corinth and was extremely scared before entering the city. We can see this in verse 3 as he writes, "I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling." Eventually, though, Paul made his way down to Corinth around the year 50. After living in Corinth for roughly a year and a half, 1 Corinthians was written by Paul to the people, outlining and explaining many of their wrongdoings. Instead of a step-by-step guide to solving the church's problems at Corinth, Paul proposed a new perspective: put God's glory first. The people of Corinth thought they were living according to God's word, but they certainly were not. These problems and breakings of God's commandments included partisanship, idolatry, incest, prostitution, inequality in the communion meal, and denials of the bodily resurrection of Jesus, amongst others. One question I want to ask all of you is, how do you think Paul felt while he was traveling alone from town to town? He was mocked, made fun of, beaten, thrown into prison, and yet he still pushed on to spread the gospel. He did not have anyone accompanying him. He had no family with him, no friends, or no handy cell phone to make a call back home to see how everyone was doing. But what Paul did have with him was the most important thing of all, and that was God by his side. When he was being mocked, God was there with him. When he was being beaten, God was there with him. When he couldn't find the right words to use when speaking to the Athenians, Thessalonians, and Corinthians, God was there with him. As verses 4 and 5 write, "Paul's message and his preaching were with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." In other words, Paul was not speaking by the power of his human intelligence, where he struggled to use wise and persuasive words with the people, but he was speaking with a demonstration of God's power. The message he was telling all the Corinthians was not by way of his wisdom, but by the power of God, and the same goes for us. Even right now, the words I'm speaking are not by way of the power of my mind, but by the power of God. We can see the power of God being spoken to us in numerous places throughout the Bible. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, we see God say, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, God tells us to be strong and courageous. "Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Proclaiming the gospel in Jesus Christ like Paul did is not something that is easy. I know I have personally struggled with it in college. Sometimes I feel like I'm unfit to share the good news with others, or that if I do, it will be awkward or people will be immediately turned away. Nevertheless, it is something I've been working on. To backtrack a bit, as I grew closer and closer to God this year, I had a sort of philosophical identity crisis. I began asking myself a lot of questions. Why? What? How? Why this and not this? And asking all of these questions, I realized that for me, everything in life boils down to faith and your belief in God and His Son. Simply, you can believe or you cannot believe. As H.G. Wells once said, if God does not exist, nothing matters. But if God does exist, nothing else matters. Again, if God does not exist, nothing matters. But if God does exist, nothing else matters. For if God does not exist, then nothing matters. Here on earth, there is truly no point to anything. We can do exactly as we please, and others can do exactly as they please. When we die, that is it. To me, our lives would be meaningless then. But if God does exist, which I believe to be true, then nothing else matters. What only matters is that God is real and He is living in, amongst, and within us. Certainly, other things are important, such as relationships or ensuring you're financially secure. But in the grand scope of things, the only thing that gives meaning to any of these things is that God exists. When we die, that is not just it. Our life starts again in the beauty of the kingdom of heaven. My question to you then is, what good is this news if you only keep it to yourself? Why not share it with others so they can learn to know God and grow in their faith? For if God does exist, then nothing else matters in the world except Him. My message and challenge to you this week is to tell someone about Jesus. Tell them of the good news. Tell a sibling, a friend, a coworker, or even a stranger about Jesus. It can be awkward or difficult at times, but in my experience, God has helped me just as He helped Paul. When you speak to people, you will be speaking to them with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Your words will not rely on human wisdom, but they will rest on the power of God. If Paul can travel to all those cities and be thrown in jail, beaten, mocked, scorned, all while alone, we can start a conversation with someone about the truth that we believe and know is real. For God can do amazing things through you. You are capable of more than you can imagine by the power of God.